Morning. Today's daf in Menachos Zayin Vav. We are on Ayin Hei Amud Beis. We're halfway down the Amud. We're starting today with the words Amar of Yosef, finishing up yesterday's daf. We're, God willing, get through the entirety of today's daf. Finish up the seventh parak of the Masechta. Last daf today of the seventh parak. The Gemara yesterday was discussing various details regarding the Mincha. Very detail-oriented daf yesterday regarding procedurally how the Mincha is brought. And through a series of Mishnayos, we learned about the mitzvah of we learned about the mitzvah of the application of oil. The oil was added to a mincha, and it's done so in stages, in three separate stages. We went through the various stages. Some menachos require all three stages. Some menachos do not require all three stages. We talked yesterday about the mitzvah of pesisa, of breaking up the mincha. With a number of menachos, they are first baked, and then the kmitza is done. So if you're baking and then follow them by the kmitza, so how is the kohen taking a fistful of it? In other words, it's not flour, it's not just flour and oil, but it's baked, and now it's a cake, it's a cookie, it's a cracker, however you want to describe it. And now the kohen is going to be doing the mitzvah of kmitza. How is kmitza done? It's in one large piece. And the answer we saw yesterday is that it's broken up. It's broken up into small pieces. The pieces were the size of a kezias, so we struggled a little bit with that line of the Mishnah, where, in other words, it sounds like from the Mishnah they're broken up into four pieces, and the Mishnah makes it sound like it's broken up into kezesim. And that was a little bit confusing, but okay, that's the general idea regarding the mincha. We're going to go, the Gemara is going to go slightly off topic, not really, but slightly off topic in that the Gemara now is going to be discussing a halacha of bracha to make on bread. Now, we know what the bracha is to make on bread. The bracha is hamotzei lechem min haaretz. All the halachas of bracha rishon, of what bracha is to make on various foods. So that's found in Masechta Brachos. It's in the sixth parak of the Masechta. Our Gemara over here is discussing it only because it relates a little bit to the menachos. You'll see what we mean in just a moment. Amar Rav Yosef, so picking up in the Gemara right away. So first the Gemara quotes the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, Amar menachos kohen em minchas kohen mashiach ein ben pesisa. There is no pesisa when it comes to the various menachos that are not offered up on the. Let me say it correctly. Menachos that do not have a kmitza, according to Rabbi Shimon, simply do not require pesisa because there's no need. There's no reason why you have to break it up if I'm not going to be putting it onto the. If the kohanim are not going to be removing a kometz to put it up on the mizbech, if the entirety is going on the mizbech. I'm Rav Yosef, picking up in the Gemara, Hai Chavitza. We're talking now about cooked bread. Now I'm going to present the Gemara like Rashi. You can see Tosos over here on the Amud, where Tosos gives a slightly different version of what the discussion is revolving around. But over here, I'm going to keep the Gemara nice and streamlined, just based on the Pshat of Rashi. So we're talking about bread now that's cooked. So again, so bread in its original state, when I say original, meaning when it, once it's produced and made into bread. Bread, what's the bracha before you eat bread? Hamotzei lechem min haaretz. Good, wonderful. Now what happens is that you take the bread and you cook it. You make it into some sort of, I'm using modern references, I don't know about how modern, but you're making it into a kugel, but basically you put it into a soup, you end up cooking the bread. And so now, bread in its cooked state, is the bracha going to change? And that's the discussion. So, according to Rav Yosef, Hai chavitza dispe perum kezais mevarchan alav amosel chem naretz, ilais ba perum kezais mevarchan alav borim mizonos. So Rav Yosef says that there's really only one variable which will determine whether or not the bracha is still going to be hamotzi or is it going to change to mizonos. And that's going to be the size of the pieces. If let's say you take a bread and you crumble it up into pieces. If you're crumbling it up into pieces of a kezias or greater, so the bracha remains to be a hamotzi lechem min haaretz. If, however, you're taking the pieces and you're reducing it to below a kezias so that each piece now is less than a kezias and you're adding it to a cooked food, so now the bracha changes to mizonos. Now, it's pretty clear from the Gemara that if I take bread and I just reduce it to breadcrumbs, but I don't change it, I don't do any kind of altercation through any other cooking process, the bracha is still going to be hamotzi. Seems pretty clear from the Gemara. It's only because now, not only am I breaking it up into pieces smaller than a kezias, but then on top of that, I'm also cooking it. So according to Rav Yosef, now the bracha changes to a mizonos. I'm Rav Yosef Menamin Allah Detanya. Now Rav Yosef says, now how do I arrive at that conclusion? Or, maybe better stated, what proof do I have that this is in fact so? Because, Hayo Omer Makriv Menachos B'Yushalayim, Hayo omed umakriv menachos b'Yerushalayim. So let's say a person is offering menachos in Yerushalayim. So first and foremost, omer baruch shechianu. See, makes a shechianu. Makes a shechianu for bringing a carbon omer. Bringing a mincha. So Rashi over here gives a couple scenarios in which you're going to be making a shechianu. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi writes, right, Hayo omed umakriv menachos b'Yerushalayim. I'm reading the Tab Rashi. Kigon, shelo hikriv kohen ze adayin mincha miyamav, o shehikriv mincha chadasha. So let's say this is the first time that this kohen's ever offering a mincha. First time event, shechianu. Rashi gives another example where it's mincha chadasha kigon mincha sa'omer. Let's say it's a new mincha. When Rashi over here is saying new mincha, he means first time in the season. So either it's a first time event in his life, shechianu, or it's a it's the first of the season where you say Shechianu. I think just in general, we are more used to Shechianu in terms of first of the season, meaning first time we're doing a mitzvah in the year, right? Meaning every year, obviously, is the first, but like we do, we blow shofar, Shechianu. We shake lulav and esrog for the first time, Shechianu. Or we sit in the sukkah on sukkah's night, although we also, it's yantav as well, meaning Shechianu is going on the yantav and on the sukkah, but still, Shechianu. The idea that we make Shechianu on first time events in our life, so we're less used to that. By a bris milah, for example, Ashkenazim, they don't make a Shechianu by a bris milah. Sfardim do, meaning it's a first time in his life that he has a bris. The father is giving the bris, however you want to say it. But in other words, it's a first time event. So Shechianu. So that's the Rashi's two examples of why he'd be saying a Shechianu. Anyway, this is all coming not for the main point the Gemara wants to make, but for the next line of the Gemara. We're back to the Gemara. Shechianu v'kimanu, nadlan la'achlan. So now, you're about to eat your mincha, right? We're talking to the Kohen Kohanim, or the ones eating the mincha. Omer ha'motzi lechem min ha'aretz. Good. So, we have a braisa that clearly states what's the bracha when the Kohen is about to eat his mincha, and that's ha'motzi. It's bread. Now, next point. Utanan v'kulam p'sisa b'chazayis. Now, we also know, meaning now we're going to use our Mishnah. So we're piecing together information. The Braisa says that the bracha is amotzi. Our Mishnah says that what's the size of these pieces? The size of the pieces are no less than a kezias. So Rav Yosef says, once you put these two pieces of information together, so now I get it. Meaning, if it's less than a kezias, so the bracha will no longer maintain to be amotzi. So Amar le Abayu, Latan de Be'er Rabbi Shmuel Damar, Mefarchan Ad Shemachzir L'Sal San. So Abayu says to Rav Yosef, so let's just imagine. If we were to just change one variable, notably, when I take a mincha and break it down, how fine do I break it down to? So again, our Mishnah taught us that you break it down to no less than a kezias. However, our Mishnah is not the only opinion. Abaye quotes the opinion of Tan Debei Rabbi Shmuel. Tan Debei Rabbi Shmuel teaches us that you break it down to back to breadcrumbs. Basically, you take your mincha, you bake it, and then the mitzvah pesisa requires you to reduce it back to breadcrumbs. So that means now that according to Tan Debei Rabbi Shmuel, when the Kohen eats it, he's not going to make hamotzi. Now, is that the end of the world? And the Gemara now asks exactly that question. You may be right. So the hachinami de la mevarech hamotzi v'chitem hachinami, and maybe you'll tell me, oh, that's right. You're not going to make hamotzi. You'll make a mezonos. V'atanya like mekulan kizayis v'achlan im chametzu enosh karis imatzahu adam yotze ba'yidecha vasa bepesach. Meanwhile, the Gemara quotes another brisa. The brisa over here talks about taking breadcrumbs and collecting them together. If I took breadcrumbs and I collected them together, and let's say these breadcrumbs, I'm eating them on Pesach, which obviously I'm not allowed to do. And if one were to eat a kezias of bread on Pesach, one would be subject to the karis penalty. So here, you're taking breadcrumbs, which obviously is less than a kezias, obviously, and I'm aggregating them together, I'm collecting them together, and I'm eating a kezias of the aggregated breadcrumbs on Pesach, so the Braisa says you're going to be subject to the Kari's penalty. And in matzahu, now let's say the breadcrumbs are not breadcrumbs from bread, but let's say they're crumbs from matzah, and then you collect them together and you ate them, so adam yotzibem yadecha vasu bePesach. So now you're fulfilling the mitzvah of eating matzah. So what are we seeing over here? What we see over here, it sounds like pretty clearly, is that just because you have bread that's reduced to any pieces that are less than a kezias, that doesn't take away the bread status. And it's still going to have the definition, the designation of bread. Meaning, on Pesach, it can hurt and help you. If it's chametz, it'll hurt you, halachically. If it's matzah, it'll help you, halachically. So you see over here that anything, any bread that's reduced in size to even breadcrumbs, as long as I pull them together, it's going to have the status of bread. So now, basically, what the Gemara is saying, what Abai is saying to Rav Yosef is, I don't understand your position. Meaning, there shouldn't be halachically a difference whether or not the pieces are the size of a kezias, are less than the size of a kezias. As long as they are collectively eaten, so then it's bread. It has the status of bread. The bracha should be amotzi. To which the Gemara says, hachem amayiskin and b'she'ir son. So what the Gemara now is just suggesting is, well, maybe the Bryce is talking about a case where the pieces of bread were not just simply collected together, but they were, I'm going to use the word glued together. I don't really mean glue as in inedible glue, but some sort of paste, some sort of edible paste was used in terms of adhesing the pieces together. So the Gemara says, "Yachi hainu diktani alav v'husha achlan b'chtei achilas pras v'i b'shi'ir san sha'achlu mi'ba'ilei." So the Gemara says, if that's really how you're understanding the Braisa, grammatically the Braisa is no good. Because what is the what's the textual language of the Braisa? It says, I eat them, meaning the small little bits of bread. If you're telling me that we took these crumbs and we put them together, and we, again, I'm using the word glued, but not like in the, right, in some sort of edible paste. If I glue the pieces together, the Braisa shouldn't say I ate them, meaning the pieces. The Braisa should say I ate it, because you unified it into one entity. So the Gemara therefore concludes, yeah, you're right. In other words, textually, it doesn't make sense. So the Gemara says, okay, so I'll give you another suggestion. Do you know why breadcrumbs in that Braisa retain the status of bread and still have the bracha of amotzi? Because those breadcrumbs have still a large piece of bread available, meaning that what happens is that the bread was reduced to breadcrumbs, but not all the bread. Some of the bread was still left over in the form of bread. And it's a really interesting proposal of the Gemara in that breadcrumbs may not be hamotzi. Again, I'm not talking about halacha right now. Right? The halacha conclusions, we're not arriving at. We're just simply trying to understand the Gemara, the give and take of the Gemara. If I take bread and I reduce it to breadcrumbs, maybe, the bracha is going to change from hamotzi down to mezonos, maybe. But what the Braisa was talking about in that the breadcrumbs still have the status of bread and still have all the properties of bread, vis-a-vis eating chametz on Pesach, vis-a-vis eating matzah on Pesach, vis-a-vis the bracha being hamotzi, is talking about a case where it's breadcrumbs, but not all the bread was reduced to breadcrumbs. Some of the bread still has its original composition. As such, the breadcrumbs still retain their identity as bread. It's a really interesting idea that what the Gemara is proposing, that because they still have some of the original bread, any of the crumbs come off of it still maintain the identity of bread. Masha'en Kain, if I were to then reduce all of it down to breadcrumbs, so then maybe it would lose the status of bread altogether. Anyway, where do we stand right now? So we go back to Rav Yosef's premise, which is that if I take bread and I cook it, and the pieces of the bread are less than a kezias, it no longer has bread status. It's now not bread. And in terms of brachas, the bracha you'd make is mezonos, not amotzi. Good. My havei Allah. To which the Gemara says, good. Now we discuss Rav Yosef's halacha. We quoted a Mishnah. We quoted a Braisa. We try to answer up the Braisa. And then Gemara says, okay, but let's say now the halacha. What is the halacha? Rav Sheshes Amar Afilu Pirum Shein Bem Kezayis. Rav Sheshes says that even if the bread is crumbled, where it's no longer kezayis, it still has the bread status. You're still going to make hamotzi. In other words, Rav Sheshes argues with Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says that if the bread is crumbled to anything less than a kezayis, it no longer has bread status. Rav Sheshes simply disagrees. Rav Sheshes says that even if the bread is reduced to less than a kezayis size, you're still going to be making the bracha of hamotzi. And Amar Rava, Rava puts in one qualifier, which is v'hu de'ika, turisa d'nahama alayu, as long as it still can be viewed as bread, as long as it can still be perceived as bread. So in other words, bread crumbs, the bracha is hamotzi, but you still need it to have some sort of identification, recognition, that in fact was bread. Good. That's the Gemara's conclusion. Now, in terms of the halacha, so we are just simply starting in terms of the halacha. Meaning so, things like, I mean, there's so many permutations of this, French toast, bread crumbs, croutons. Again, by the way, because the Gemara over here was, when opening up the whole discussion, talks about chavitza, according to Rashi, means that the bread was cooked. So in other words, it's not just that I crumbled the bread, but I crumbled the bread and did another cooking process to it. And so, many details in terms of at what point does bread lose the bread status vis-a-vis the bracha of hamotzi? And so all we got going so far this morning was just the beginning of the halacha, which is that even if it's reduced to less than a kezias, as long as it still has bread identity, as long as you can identify it as bread, so the bracha is going to be hamotzi. But then after that, there are more details, and see the Shulchan Aruch for more details on these halachas. Ein vav amud alef, we are starting now today's daf. Kol menachas tunas shalosh meos shifa v'chamesh meos b'ita. We are talking now about the preparation of the grain. So we're talking about menachas in general. So we're getting the grains, and we're about to grind the grains and sift them. So before the grinding and before the sifting, so what we're going to do is we're going to basically soften the grains. How do we soften the grains? So the Mishnah over here talks about shifa and be'ita. Shifa, rubbing the grain. Be'ita, pounding the grain. Rashi over here says that this was done manually. Okay, I imagine that this seems to be labor intensive. The amount of rubbing and pounding of each of the grains. Rashi says it was done by hand. The top Rashi in the Mishnah. Shifa shemeshafshe piyado shemolech mevi bepisas yado alayan. By rubbing your hands over them, so that is the rub. And be'ita sheboit bahem begavos etzbaos be'egrofal. Basically making a fist and pounding them with your fist. And how many times is this done? And I'll give you the basic answer. A lot. Now we'll be a little more specific. The Mishnah tells us, Shalosh meos shifa v'chamesh meos be'ita. 300 times is it rubbed, 500 times is it pounded. Okay, or you can go back to what I said, a lot. Right, the shifa u'be'ita, right, v'chamesh meos be'ita. Shifa u'be'ita b'chitin, and shifa and be'ita are done with wheat. Rav Yossi Amr Babatzek, and Rav Yossi says it's done with the dough. Meaning, at what point in the baking process are we doing this rubbing and pounding? So the Tanakhama says that we're doing it while it's still wheat, and Rav Yossi says no, only after it was made into a dough, then we do the rubbing and the pounding. Exactly what Rav Yossi means by that, stay tuned, the Gemara is going to discuss it just a little bit. Kol ha-menachos ba'os eser, chutz melechem apanim v'chavite kol ha-gadol shemahem, sheheim ba'os shteim esrei, divrei Rav Yehuda. And now, how many loaves are made from each of the menachos? So if a person is offering a standard, voluntary mincha, so we know how much flour, we know how much oil, and you make it into how many rolls? So the answer is going to be, well, the answer is it's a machlokas. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, standard procedure is 10 rolls. So you take the flour, you take the oil, water is added as well, and you're going to make from that 10 separate rolls. With two exceptions. The Kohen Gadol's daily mincha, made into 12 rolls, and the Lechem Aponim, made into 12 rolls. Okay. Rabbi Meir Omer, Kulam ba'u 12 chutz mechalas toda unazir shehin ba'u eser. Now, according to Rabbi Meir, invert the standard. The standard is 12 rolls. So that means to say that according to Rabbi Meir, if a person is bringing a standard mincha, standard voluntary mincha, so again, we know the amount of flour, we know the amount of oil, and then with that, you're going to break it down to 12 rolls. And that's going to be, 12 rolls is going to be the standard for how many rolls there are, with two exceptions, and that is the loaves for the Karban Todah, which is coming up in the next parak, tomorrow's daf. We start with an analysis of the Karban Todah, and the loaves that come with the Nazir, where they are 10 rolls, not 12 rolls. Okay. Let's start with the Gemara. Tana Shaf Achaz Boi Shtayim, Shaf Shtayim Boi Shalosh. Okay. And the Brice over here gives us just one more detail in terms of the rubbing and the pounding. Here is the procedure. Rub once, pound twice. Rub two times, and pound two times. No, I didn't say it right. Let me try that again. Okay, rub once, right, sorry. Rub once, pound twice. Rub two times, pound three times. Okay, now I said it correctly. Wonderful. And basically, now what we just did, and now repeat that another 99 more times, and it's that simple. And so once you do this procedure, so then you're going to come back to the Mishnah, the numbers of our Mishnah, meaning the Mishnah says that the Mishnah is just giving us a sum total. In other words, if I do this procedure 100 times over, so then in terms of a sum total, it'll be 300 rubs and 500 pounds for every one of the grains. Now, by Rav Yirmiyah, Amtui Vasuye, Chadu Dem Amtui Vasuye, Trey Mai Teku. And then Rav Yirmiyah just asks a really technical question. When we are talking about the rubbing of the grain, so is it back and forth count as one, or is it back and forth count as two? Question is unresolved. Shifo Be'ita Michitin, Rabbi Yossi Omer Bebatzeg. At what point do we do the rubbing and the pounding? In its grain form, or only after it's made into a dough? And it seems like, not seems, it is a machlokus in the Mishnah. What exactly is Rav Yossi's position? Rav Yossi, two ways to understand Rav Yossi. Either A, he's not arguing with the Tanakam, he's adding to the Tanakam. Now, that also means he's arguing, but meaning to say that he's okay if I were to rub and pound it in its grain form, but you can also do it as a dough. That's one way to understand Rav Yossi. Or, alternatively, he is total disagreement. Meaning, according to the Tanakhama, you do these activities while it's a grain, and according to Rav Yossi, no, only after it's a dough. And Tashma, Detanya, Shifa, Vita, Bechitim, Rav Yossi, Amar, Shifa, Be'ita, Bebatze. Now, the Gemara quotes the Braisa, and the Braisa over here seems to be clearer on the point than the Mishnah. Now, it's interesting, because when you look back at the Mishnah, there's not a whole lot of difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa we just quoted. But, as Rashi notes over here, if you read the Braisa really carefully, it is a little bit different than the Mishnah, because in the Braisa, Shifo Bita Bechita Rav Yossi Omer, Shifo Ubi'ita Bebatzek. Meaning he adds those two words in the Braisa. If all he was doing was just adding to the Tanakama, he could have gotten away just by simply saying the word Babatzek, like in the Mishnah. And that led for the ambiguity. But by virtue of the fact that in the Braisa it says Shifo Bita again, so that communicates to us this idea that he is totally disagreeing with the Tanakama. The rubbing and pounding are done only in its dough form. Okay. Now, number of loaves that we make from every one of the menachos. So again, there's a machlokas in the Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says that the standard number of loaves is 10, except for the lechem apanim and the chavitei kohen gadol. According to Rabbi Meir, the standard is 12, except for the loaves of the todah and the nazir. How do each of these arrive at their conclusions? So, the Gemara takes us through. Lechem aponim bejik sivbeim. So, here's the known quantity. When it comes to the lechem aponim, the Torah says it outright, 12 loaves. Chavita kohen gadol asir chuka chuka melechem aponim. As far as the kohen gadol's daily mincha, gzera shava. Okay, so what do we have right now? We have an explicit reference of the lechem aponim, being 12, and gzera shava connecting it to the chavita kohen gadol. Good. Now from here, where do we go? Kol menachos debaus eser minalan gamer melach mitoda malahalan eser afkan eser. As far as now, the standard mincha comes 10 loaves because we learn the standard mincha from the toda. The Torah by the toda says explicitly 10, so that now becomes the benchmark, the baseline in terms of all other menachos being 10 loaves. Valeilav melachem apanim. So the Gemara says, okay, but look, we have now two known entities in the Torah in terms of how many loaves. We have on one hand the lechem aponim where the Torah says 12. We have on the other hand the lachme toda where the Torah says 10. Which one now sets the standard? And the Gemara's question now is really simple. If I have two known entities and the question now of which one sets the standard, so the real question now becomes which one is the more generic type of mincha? Is it the one offered by the Kohen Gadol or is it the lachme toda? If I ask a question like that, I mean, we'll see the Gemara in just a moment because the Gemara is going to really break this question down. But, like, I would have told you just on the simplest level, Toda. Meaning the Mincha of the Kohen Gadol is only brought by the Kohen Gadol. Meaning he's unique, and you can make the argument that therefore the Mincha should be unique. So, even on a superficial level, so I would have said that the Toda is just more generic in nature than that of the Mincha of the Kohen Gadol.
The other one's Tadir, though, more Tadir, right?
By the way, I misspoke. In other words, I made a mistake. I'm using the mincha of the Kohen Gadol as being the baseline, meaning that was only learned out through Gzer Shava. What I really meant is the lechem aponim. Okay, but my point is still going to be very similar. Meaning the lechem aponim is in the base of Mikdash. It's sitting on the Shulchan. Meaning there's some unique aspect to the lechem aponim. Again, that's on the simplest level. But again, the Gemara now is going to break it down. Danny, what you said is correct. And it's going to be just but one of the details the Gemara is going to point out. So ma, lahalan shem esrei afkan shem esrei mistaba melach metoda havalei lemelech. So in establishing how many loaves I have for your standard mincha, So basically, let's look at the common factors between a standard mincha to the lachmei toda and the standard mincha to the lachem apanim. And let's see where there are more connection points, more similarities. And now what the Gemara goes to is, and for us learning menachos, this is standard fare, where we're basically looking at the number of connecting points. And basically we keep score, and at the end of the day, we'll see what the score is, and the winner is the one who has more points. So, shekain. So this is where the toda is more comparable to your standard mincha. Yachid is offered by an individual, hamisnadev. It is voluntary shemen. There's oil that's introduced. Nifsal is subject to the psulim of lina. Right. By the way, interesting. Lechem aponim is not subject to the psul of lina. As long as the lechem aponim is sitting on that shochan, the shochan protects the lechem aponim from becoming disqualified through staying overnight. Shelo b'Shabbos v'shelo b'tuma. Voluntary offerings do not override Shabbos, nor do they offer override tuma. Every point that we just made now, and we made a total of 5 points. You know, I like keeping score. So, by the way, I count 5 only because Shelo b'Shabbos v'shelo b'tuma. I put that together. I lumped that together as 1. But still, that's 5 points. So, 5 points. Your standard mincha is more comparable to the lachmei toda. Adraba milechem apanim havalelamel. If the Gemara says yeah, but I can argue the other direction, that your standard mincha is more comparable to the lechem aponim. Shekain. And now the Gemara goes over the connection points between the lechem aponim and your standard mincha. Hekdesh. It is imbued with hekdesh, kedusha. Now what does that mean? The Toda also has kedusha. So Rashi over here writes regarding hekdesh, ha-menachos v'lechem aponim kachei kadashim. Consider that when it comes to your standard mincha and the lechem aponim, it's not just kedusha, but higher order kedusha, right? Kache kadashim can only be eaten in the azara, can only be eaten by male kohanim, as opposed to the lachmei toda. It's connected to the toda. What's the carbon toda? Shlamim. Therefore, what's the bread of the carbon toda? Also has shlamim quality to it, which means that it can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim, can be eaten by anybody. Good. So, number 2, Lavona. Lavona is going to be by your standard mincha and by the lechem aponim. Now, lechem aponim, we don't sprinkle the lavona on top of the lechem aponim, but as we've gone over numerous times, there are 2 spoonfuls of lavona that sit either on top of or next to the lechem aponim, and so it has lavona. Matzah, it's baked as matzah, as opposed to the toda breads, which we're going to be discussing next perek, which some of them are matzah, but some of them are chametz. And etzem, they're coming as a result of themselves, meaning the lachmei toda are only an attachment to the carbon toda. Meanwhile, your standard mincha and the lechem aponim are independent menachos. So basically, this was a tight game over here. It was a 5-4. But still, in other words, hanach nefishin. But there are more connection points between your standard mincha and the lachmei toda. So again, now this is an explanation of the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, which is why the standard mincha is going to have 10 loaves, not 12. Isvirlan davralame bigzereshava chosamalame biminyanav so nelev mechavite kohen gadol. Okay, now this is where I made the mistake earlier, but okay. Well, now what the Gemara wants to suggest is as follows. Good. So the lechem aponim, so we basically, that is not going to win the game of what is it more comparable to. Because the lechem aponim, there are only 4 connection points, and to the lachmei toda, there are 5 connection points. But let's consider the following. Let's not work with the lechem aponim, but let's rather work with chavite kohen gadol. Now chavite kohen gadol is the daily offering, a daily mincha offering of the kohen gadol. We only know it's 12 rolls because of Gzeira Shava. So the Gemara over here says, as long as we can assume that something that's learned through Gzeira Shava, you can now use as your precedent for Binyanav. Now the Gemara over here is hedging a little bit because Rashi over here reminds us, the Gemara in Zvachim tells us, right, was now back on Daf Nun in Zvachim. The Gemara in Zvachim back there tells us that by Kachim, anything that has to do with Kabanos, it is not clear whether or not you could do a 2-step limud, right? And you'll remember the Gemara over there, there were 4 limudim, and so basically there was 4 squared, meaning 4 different permutations of how you can arrive at a limud, right? Gzereshava Hekesh, right? And you remember those Gemaras that go through all 16 permutations. But in the meantime, however, let's assume, and the Gemara knows that it's not clear that we can assume, but let's assume that we can go Gzera Shava to then Binyanav. Gzera Shava takes us from Lechem Aponim to Chavite Kohen Gadol. And now let's use a Chavite Kohen Gadol as the basis for a Binyanav. that just like Chavita Kohen Gadol is 12 loaves, all Menachah should be 12 loaves. Now, here, let's watch how this plays out. Ma lahalan shem esrei afkan shem esrei mistarba malach mitona havalei lemelev shekein. And here we go now, noting all the connection points. So first we're going to go and see how your standard mincha compares to to the lach mitona. Hed yod, it's brought by individual. Shenis nadev, it's voluntary. Chatzayim, they do not come in halves. Meaning the Kohen Gadol's mincha come in halves. It's broken up into half in the morning, half in the afternoon. Your standard mincha and the lach metoda are not broken up into halves. Pigol, it's subject to pigol. Lach metoda and the lachem aponim are subject to pigol. Sorry. Lach metoda and your standard mincha are subject to pigol. Chavite Kohen Gadol, interestingly, is not subject to pigol. Why is the mincha of the Kohen Gadol not subject to pigol? Rashi says very simply, because there's no matir. Remember, it's one of the most basic rules that we said regarding pigol. There's only something's only eligible for pigol only if it has a matir. Number five, shalom b'shav v'shalom b'tumah. Because the toda and your standard mincha are voluntary offerings, they do not have override Shabbos nor tumah. So again, keeping score now, that was five connection points between your standard mincha and the lach metoda. Now, adrabah mechavite kohen gadol havel lemelech shekein. Now we're going to try to note all the similarities between the standard mincha and the daily mincha of the Kohen Gadol. Number one, isarin, the amount of flour. The amount of flour for standard mincha is an isarin, as we said over many times. The amount of flour for the mincha of the Kohen Gadol is also an isarin, as opposed to a toda, where the flour amount is going to be greater. Tomorrow we will discuss how much the flour amount is for the toda. For us right now, suffice to say, it's greater. Kli, it is prepared in a kli, as opposed to the toda, which is not prepared in a kli. Hekdesh, once again, the point of Kodesh Kadashim, as opposed to the toda, which is Shlamim. Lavona is by the mincha of the Kohen Gadol, and by standard mincha, that's not true by the carbon toda. Matzah, again, the idea that your standard mincha and the mincha of the Kohen Gadol is not made into chametz. Toda is made in chametz. Etzem, they're coming independent of another carbon, meaning they're coming by themselves. They're not an attachment to another carbon. The carbon toda, of course, is the mincha's toda is an attachment to the carbon toda. Hagasha, by your standard mincha and by the mincha chavite Kohen Gadol, there's a mitzvah of hagasha. Ishim, and they are burnt on the fire. Part of it is burnt on the fire, or all of it's burnt on the fire. By the lach metoda, none of it is burnt on the fire. And so now, I don't know if you've been keeping score, I have. That's eight connection points now between the standard mincha and the mincha of the chavite Kohen Gadol. So now, in this game, it's not a game, but in this game, so now the score is 5-8. But 5-8, and who won? Chavite Kohen Gadol won. So now, why don't we say that the standard mincha should have 12 loaves just like the chavite Kohen Gadol? And as far as connection points, there actually are more connection points between a standard mincha and the chavite Kohen Gadol versus a standard mincha and that of the lach metoda. Gemara concludes, Hanin efishin hejo mehejo ad diflei. Now, even though it is greater in terms of connection points, but still, and this is the point I made earlier, right, and I was foreshadowing, but here the Gemara says it, I'm not going to learn out the standard mincha from the mincha of the Kohen Gadol. He's a Kohen Gadol. In other words, he's an exceptional individual. There's only one Kohen Gadol at one given time. He's exceptional. So the mincha that he offers is going to be therefore considered exceptional. And when I'm learning now how many loaves comes with a standard mincha, I'm going to much rather go to the lach metoda as opposed to the chavite Kohen Gadol, even though technically we just pointed out there actually are more connection points to that of the mincha of the Kohen Gadol. Rabbi Meir Amar Kulam Baal Shtei Masrei. Now, we turn to our attention to now Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that the standard number of rolls is 12, not 10. Now, Micah Sav Yisrael Leid Dadav Alamei Begzer Shev Echozim Alamei Bebinyanav Yalav Mechavite Kohen Gadol Dahanan Efishin. Good. So the Gemara now explains. What's Rabbi Meir's position? So, number one, says the Gemara, could very well be that he just went through the math that we just went through. All the connection points between a standard mincha and that of the chavite Kohen Gadol. Chavite Kohen Gadol is 12 loaves, so therefore the standard mincha is 12 loaves. And he'll tell you that, look, it's a numbers game. And the numbers speak to the idea that there are more connections to the chavite Kohen Gadol, which is 12. So therefore the standard is 12. That's one possibility. And if he doesn't like going gzeres shava vinyanav, meaning if he doesn't like the double step, so then he could just simply learn out from lechem upon him. Why? Because they're both kachei kadashim, meaning even though the toda is, there are more connection points to the carbon toda, but still the carbon toda and the lachme toda are shlamim. So therefore, meaning it has the status of shlamim. I'd much rather compare a standard mincha to the lechem upon him because they both operate under the category of kodesh kadashim. Okay. Now again, the Gemara just goes over the Lach Metoda. The Torah says explicitly it comes 10 loaves. And as far as the lechem of a nazir, how do I know that's 10 loaves? The Torah doesn't explicitly state it, but the Gemara says, but we have a drasha. Okay. Amr of Tuvi Bar Kisna Amr Shmuel. Lach Metoda Sha'afan Arba Chalos Yatza. Now, tomorrow, we're starting the perek that deals with the carbon toda and the lachme toda. So a halacha that is specific to the lachme toda, there are a total of 4 different types of breads that come together with the carbon toda. And of each one of the 4 types, you make 10 loaves of each. What the Gemara is saying in the name of Shmuel is that if I took the dough, and instead of making each of the doughs 10 loaves, I made each of them one big loaf, so as long as I have the 4 loaves representing the 4 different types of bread, we're good. V'habi'in and arba'im. So the Gemara says, okay, but that's not what the Torah says. The Torah says that each type has to be turned into 10 loaves. So the Gemara's answer is l'mitzvah. Yeah, that's right. In other words, you're right. That you should be doing that. But that's not an ikov. It doesn't hold back the mitzvah. It's just it's a lechatchila. V'habai ifrushi truma minayu. Now again, we're going to learn this tomorrow, but we'll say it now. In anticipation of tomorrow, of each of the 10 loaves, in other words, there are 4 types of menachos that come with the carbon toda. Of the 4 types, it's then broken up into 10 rolls each. Of the 10 rolls, one of each of them is given to the kohen, meaning the kohen is going to walk away with 4 loaves of the toda. And we'll call that right now truma, meaning it's not truma in the most classic sense of the wheat in the field, and you're taking off 2% given to the kohen, but in other words, of the lachme toda, of the 40 loaves, 10% of it, 4 loaves, are given to the Kohen. So the Gemara is basically saying, if I make each one of them only one loaf, one big loaf, so what am I going to do with the Kohen? How am I going to give him his percentage? Now, Iba v'chitema demafresh mikol chad v'chada. So the Gemara says, well, what's the big deal? In other words, of each of the 4 loaves, just break off a piece and give it to the Kohen. And make sure when you're breaking off a piece, make sure you're giving him 10% of the loaf. The Gemara says, echad amirachmana. Shelo yitol pros. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you can't do that because the Torah says that when you give the Kohen a loaf, it must be an entity, a single unit of a loaf. You can't give him a piece. So darfishin and belisha. So the Gemara says, okay. Once again, I'll circumvent that problem. When I take off for the Kohen, I'm doing it while it's in its dough state. So in other words, I'm making one big dough. I'll take 10% of the dough, section that off. That'll be going to the Kohen. And the rest and now we'll bake each one of them. When I'll bake the 90%, I'll bake the 10%, and that way I can both do the one loaf for me and give the Kohen his one loaf as the truma. Okay. Anyway, comes out now that according to Shmuel, even though the mitzvah in the Torah is to make 40 loaves total, but if I make 4 loaves, one of each, but one big loaf of each, you're yotze. Meisve the Gemara challenges call menachos shariba b'midas. Okay. The Gemara quotes the Braisa. And the Braisa says, look, when making loaves for your standard mincha, so there is a recommended number. And that recommended number is, well, it's a machlokas. But let's for our purposes, let's say 10. Okay? In other words, we'll go with the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. The number is 10. Good. So 10 is going to always be the standard number. But let's say I make 12. Let's say I make 8. So, generally speaking, it's okay. Meaning, again, it's the amount of flour, the amount of oil is standard. But how many loaves I make of it, there is a, I want to say recommendation, it's more, a little bit more than a recommendation. There's a mitzvah of how many to make, but you can ad lib a little bit. Make smaller rolls, more of them, bigger rolls, less of them. with the notable exception of Lechem Apanim Chavitei Kohen Gadol, where there the Torah says explicitly 12. Again, Lechem Apanim, the Torah says explicitly. Chavitei Kohen Gadol, we learn through Gezeirah Shavah. And Lachmei Torah Nezirus, where there the number is 10. Lachmei Torah, again, the Torah says explicitly. And Nezirus, we learn out through a drasha. Okay, good. I say good, by the way, it's not good for Shmuel. Meaning, because Shmuel says that by the Lachmei Torah, there is a mitzvah to make 40 loaves, meaning 10 of each. But if you don't, that's okay. The Braisa says it's not okay when it comes to Lachmei Torah. Hu da Amar, we are on top of Ayin Vav Amud Beis, ki Aitana de Tanya. So the Gemara says, yeah, Shmuel, you're right. That Braisa is not going to go well for Shmuel. But Shmuel does have another Braisa. The Gemara quotes it, Kolam Menachah Shariba, Bimilis Chalasan, Shemiyah Bimilis Chalasan, Kshiris Chutz Melechem Apanim Vechavite Kohen Gadol. Ah, so this Braisa has the Tanakama's viewpoint. Where is there no negotiation? That's by the Lechem Apanim and the Chavite Kohen Gadol, where there has to be 12. By all other Menachos, there is room to negotiate. Doesn't have to be 10. It could be 8, it could be 12. And that includes even the Lachmei Torah, where it doesn't have to be 10. Good. We could stop right here. We're not going to stop right here. But we could stop right here, and this would be the support for Shmuel. Now, it happens to be the Braisa does have another opinion. The Yeshomim of Lachmei Torah Nezirus, the Yeshomim of this Braisa says that the Lachmei Torah Nezirus also are non-negotiable. It has to be 10 rolls. But that's the Yeshomim. Shmuel will side like the Tanakama. Amar Avuna Minchas Mafesh Afa Chal Achas Yatza. The oven-baked mincha. Now, again, principally should maybe be made into 10 rolls. But if I make it into one large roll, that's okay. My taima matzos ksiv. If you read the Torah has the word matzos without a vav. So in other words, singular. Even though, of course, we pronounce it with the vav, but the ksiv is singular. Maskal v'rapapa taima diksiv matzos haksiv matzos lo. So that means to say that if it was written with a vav, so that by definition means that it has to be made more than one. V'haga b'lachmei Torah diksiv matzos v'amar rav tuvi bar kisna amar shmo lachmei Torah shafan arba chalos yatza. So the Gemara says, okay, but by the Torah uses it actually with the Vav, meaning it has to be more than one. And we just got done learning that according to Shmuel, if I take the Lachmei Torah and make it one big roll, that would be okay. But the Torah says matzos with the Vav, which means that I cannot make it into one big roll. So the Gemara says, you're right, ahi pliga. Right? In other words, you're right, Shmuel will just simply have to argue with that position as well. Okay, ad kan. Okay, two more Mishnayos to do, two more Gemaras to do. Right, we'll tackle them quickly. Ha'omer ha'yabai yisar mishal shayin. Now, we made this point already earlier. We made it actually in the beginning of the sixth parak. But now we're saying it again. In other words, when it comes to the barley for the carbon omer, I start off with three sa'ah, if I can remind all of us. In other words, it was machlokus, whether it comes up on Shabbos or whether it comes out during the weekday. But again, for our purposes right now, we can say it nice and simple. Three sa'ah is the amount of barley that I start off with, meaning that's the raw material of barley. And then that we're going to grind and we're going to sift. I should say better, we're going to pound, we're going to rub, we're going to grind, and we're going to sift. And we're going to sift and sift and sift until we get from three saw all the way down to one isaron. And as we already went over, but I'll say it again. In other words, that means that I'm starting off with 10 times more than what I end up with. In other words, three saw of barley is equivalent to one eifa, which is also equivalent to 10 isaron. And through the sifting, we're going to end up with one isaron. So the ratio between original product, original grain, and how much I end up with as flour, 10 to 1. Now, shtei alechem, shtei asronim, mishal shayim. Now, with the shtei alechem, I start off with 10 and I get down to 2. 10 original is the amount of original wheat that I have. And then through grinding and sifting, I get down to 2. So a ratio of 10 to 2. The Gemara obviously is going to point out the obvious, which is, why by barley do I need 10 to get to 1, but when it comes to wheat, I need 10 to get down to 2? I feel like if we were farmers, the answer to us would be obvious. But I'll speak for myself. I'm not a farmer. Lechem aponim esrim v'arba esronim mi esrim v'arba sa'in. Now, the lechem aponim, there is a lot of flour that's needed for the lechem aponim. Lechem aponim are 12 rows that are made up of 24 sa'ah. How much do I need to start off with? Let me say that correctly. I misspoke. 12 loaves coming from 24 esronim. And how much do I start off with? I start off with 24 sa'ah. Now, in terms of a ratio, That means that it's a ratio of 10-3. In other words, for every 10 units that I start off with, I end up of raw product, of raw material, I end up with 3 of the finished product. Okay, and again, so now your ratios of the Mishnah for the Omer, it's 10-1. For the Shea Lechem, it's 10-2. And for the Lechem Apanim, it's 10-3. The obvious question, how come for various menachos, in other words, they're grains. What difference should it make? If I start off with raw material, I should end up with the same finished product. And why is there variability in our Mishnah? The Gemara addresses that very question. So first let's start off with the Omer. And again, I'm saying this academically. I don't have any practical experience. But when it comes to barley, which is both barley and new, so it takes 10 to get down to 1. And Shea Lechem v'Shea Asronim v'Shalosh Shayim, Kevan d'Mechit and Asyan, Afagav d'Mechadosh Asyan, Shea Asronim Asyan v'Shalosh Shayim. And as far as the Shea Lechem v'Shvuos, now it's new wheat, it's not old wheat, it's new wheat, but still, because it's wheat and not barley, so therefore, I could start with 10 to get down to 2. Meaning, I'm going to have more finished product coming from the same amount. In fact, twice as more finished product. And then finally, Lechem apanim esrim v'arba'a esronim, me esrim v'arba'a sa'in, ma'itam kevin demechitin asa, miyashin asa, isaron mufcha asa misa'a. And as far as the Lechem apanim is concerned, I don't need to use new wheat. First of all, I'm using wheat, not barley. Secondly, it's not new wheat, it's old wheat. Older wheat is kind of more dry already, so therefore, we can produce a lot more flour out of the old wheat grain than we could out of new wheat grain. And that's why, for every 10, I'm going to end up with 3 of the finished product. Three units of flour. Tanu Rabbanan kol menachos shariba b'midas esronim moshimir b'midas isaron psulos. Riba b'midas sain shalahen moshimir b'midas sain shalahen ksheros. And now, the Bryce over here makes the following point. When we talk about the finished amount of flour, so that measurement is a precise measurement. We cannot do more, we cannot do less. When we're talking about the original, the raw material, meaning the 3 saw for the Omer, right? That is a recommendation. You don't have to use 3 saw. You could use 4, you could use 5, you could use 2. Meaning, it's just simply recommended that in order to get down to 1 isaron of the barley, of flour, of barley flour, I need to start off with 3 saw, but it doesn't have to be 3 saw. That original measurement is adjustable. It could be more, it could be less. And we can make the same point regarding any of the other menachos as well. For the raw materials mentioned in our Mishnah, they are recommendations, not absolutes. For the finished flour, those are absolutes. That's not a recommendation. And the last Mishnah of the Perek. Ha'omer ha'yamanufa b'shoshes reinafa. How many sieves and sifts did it go through in order to get from the barley grain all the way down to the barley flour? So the Mishnah tells us that for the Omer, 13 sieves. Shtei alechem v'shtei mesrei. For the shtei alechem, 12. For the lechem aponim, yud aleph, 11. Now, it sounds like from the Mishnah, the simplest reading of the Mishnah is that we actually have 13 or 12 or 11 sieves used for the sifting of the flour for the Omer, the shtei alechem, and the lechem aponim. Now, why these particular numbers, it's not clear. Meaning, the Mishnah nor the Gemara gives us the reason why these particular numbers. Does that mean it's going to be better sifted based on more actual sifters? Perhaps. Maybe. And why the Omer has to use 13 as opposed to the Lechem Aponim, which only needs 11? Again, unclear.
It's barley.
Huh?
Maybe it's because barley.
I would agree with the point if I don't know anything about sifting barley. So, okay, I don't know. Rabbi Shimon Amar lo haya lehem kitzva, ela solas menufa kol tzarcha hayameve. According to Rabbi Shimon, there's no set amount, but rather, not only is there no set amount, but in other words, you can already buy it where it was pre-ground, pre-sifted. Meaning that there is nothing inherent about the sifting process where it's done in the base of Mikdash with 13 sieves. And in other words, it could just simply be done outside. You can outsource the sifting, the grinding and the sifting. You can even buy it as already pre-ground, pre-sifted. And Hayamevishanem of Lakhta Solas Vafisosa. I should take Manufa called Sarcha. In fact, if you read the Torah says that you could buy it as solas. So in other words, according to Rabbi Shimon, there is simply nothing inherent in the sifting process. You don't need 13, you don't need 12, you need 11. You just simply need it sifted. And you can even buy it as such. Okay, Gemara, let's finish the parak this morning. Meaning it just needs to be done. This is something that just simply, it just needs to be brought down to the flower. Tanur Rabbanan, bedaka begasa. Sorry, let me read that again. Bedaka begasa. So according to the Tanakama, so you sift it in the coarser sift and then in the fine sift. The coarser sift and the fine sift. Now there's a detailed Rashi over here. I'm not going to go through it right now. I encourage you to do it. Basically in the sifting process, this is my understanding, and again, hands-on would be just better. In the sifting process, we're basically looking to get out the coarser part of the grain and also the powder as well. Meaning that basically we're looking to get the fine flour that is extracted from the grain. And so we want to get out the coarser stuff, and also we want to get out the fine powder. And the way we do that is by vacillating back and forth between a coarser sift and a fine sift. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Amar Shal Shasrei Nafas Hayu Ben Mikdash Zulam Al Mizu VeZulam Al Mizu El Yona Koletes Suben Tachtona Koletes Solas. And Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says basically you have 13 sifts one on top of another, and after you grind the flour, you're just basically letting it go through each one of them. Each one of them collectively is going to collect the coarser portion of the flour until you get to the bottom where you're basically left with the fine flour. Rabbi Shimon Omer lo hayalem kitzvah tan rabban the Gemara quotes the Brisa. Solos v'afiso sam lamed shenikha solos u'minayin shafilu chitin tamalomer v'lakachta mikomakom. The Brisa over here repeats what we learned back in the Mishnah regarding the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. There's nothing inherent regarding the actual grinding process. Meaning that vis-a-vis the grinding, you can outsource. And you can even purchase it as ground flour. Now, but this is only true regarding the lechem aponim. Meaning, I should have mentioned this before. I didn't. That the pasuk that is quoted is only in reference to the lechem aponim. However, when it comes to other menachos, Rabbi Shimon will agree that the grinding should be done and the sifting should be done in the Beis Hamikdash. Why? B'nei hachison. And the Gemara gives us over here. Right, the Gemara over here gives an explanation. It's because of chison. Now, by mibnei chison, I'm Rabbi Elazar. Torah chasa al mamonim shal Yisrael. What the Torah wants us to do is not waste our money. The Torah does not want us to waste our money, and therefore, what? You look at the last Rashi over here before the end of the parak. Rashi writes, "Lefish lechem aponim heim chav dalet esronos." Look, lechem aponim. How much lechem aponim is there? Again, I'm going to give the broad answer, a lot. Let's give a quantified answer to that. 24 esronim. Now, not only is it 24 esronim, meaning a standard mincha is just one esor. So there are 24 esronim, and it's also weekly. Ulefi shein b'chol Shabbos v'Shabbos v'onlin l'davar gadol. Hutig liknosam min achitim kidei shiavi lechem b'zol. Yosta mishim hayulochim solas min hatagar. You see, look, if we are going to be buying in bulk, in the grain form, so that means now that the Beis HaMikdash is going to save money. So in other words, when we know that we're going to be using large quantities of it and going to what was then back in the day Costco, okay, I understand it's not, but in other words, but buying in bulk, and not only buying in bulk, but buying it in its raw state, so that's just simply going to be cheaper. Shehakona solos kona osabiyokir. Meaning if you're buying it now in its flour form, so in other words, not only are you paying for the material, but you're also paying for the labor. And you're paying for the labor, obviously. In other words, it's not our labor, it's somebody else's labor, so that means you have to pay even more. So, when you are using a lot of it, the Torah does not want us wasting money, right? This Rashi could show to every executive director of every one of our institutions, but they know this already. It's not like a news flash. So, when you're buying in bulk, so you want to save money. However, when it comes to all other menachos, where it's just one isar and it's not a lot, so there's an allowance to buy it in its flour form, and you don't have to grind it and sift it in the Beis HaMikdash itself. And then just finishing up the parak, Echa Remiza, where is this alluded to in the Torah? Where the Torah cares not just about us, but about our property as well. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sensitive to us not wasting our money. The pasuk says, "Dichsi v'ishkisa se'idav es biram." When water came out of the rock, not only was there water so that we could survive, but there was water also for our flock as well. Now, you can make the argument, well, we need our flock because we need to eat, because without our flock we have nothing to eat. But remember, they were in the Midbar. In other words, we had what to eat. So in other words, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu provide water not only for us but for our flock as well? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares not about us, not just about us, but about our property as well. So in other words, basically, don't waste. If you can, for the lechem upon him, if you could buy it in its raw state, in its kernel state, wheat kernel state, so then do so. Obviously, we're going to have to go through the labor of grinding and sifting, but we're going to save money, and that's obviously a value that's important. And that is the end now of the seventh parak. Mirza Hashem, tomorrow we begin the eighth parak. Tomorrow we talk about the carbon toda.